Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, your word is powerful. By your word, you created the universe. That's how powerful it is. So we praise you for that. And so, Lord, we bow our hearts and our minds. See, there's a word. We bow our minds to your word today. Put aside all our preconceived ideas and thinking and just come in faith to your word, asking that by your spirit you reveal what you have for us to learn today from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. All right, we've got some things to show you. What do these things have in common? All right, do you know what it is? Yep, who wants to be an heir? It's a very young Eddie, isn't it? That's the next one. Yeah, you know what it is? Yep. Okay, next one. It's one of my favourite ads. Telstra, that's right. No more relying on the parents. I tell my kids all the time now to Google it. Not happy, Jan. Who's old enough to remember that one? Yeah, yes. I still say not happy, Jan. If you haven't seen that one, you need to Google that one because that's good. Yep, next one. That's Yellow Pages. Yes, I think there's one more after that. Is that the corn one? Corn. All right, so what do these have in common? Has anyone got a guess? They're Australian. They're all slogans, yes. If you only really get it if you're an Australian, right? You really only, you know how you go overseas and if you want to find other Australians, it's a bit tacky these days, but if someone goes, Aussie, 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 then you hear this oi, oi, oi. At the Olympics, it was, you know, crazy. But they make no sense to anyone outside of Australia because we're in it together. We do Australia together. We're Australians. And let's read the Bible. Luke 5, we'll get there. Luke 5:17, it starts. It says, one day Jesus was teaching. Some Pharisees and experts of the law were sitting near him. They'd come out of every village in Galilee and Judea as well as Jerusalem. Now, these guys had come because it was their responsibility to make sure that people who were teaching weren't doing anything weird. Like, it was their responsibility to prevent false prophets from leading people astray. So Luke 5:18 goes on. It says, soon some men arrived carrying a paralytic and they kept trying to carry him and put him down in front of Jesus. When they failed to find a way of getting him in because of the dense crowd, they went to the top of the house and they led him down, bed and all, through the tiles, into the middle of the crowd, in front of Jesus. I don't think Jesus got to say anything after that because everyone was going, what are they doing? And all of a sudden, a mat appears there with a person in front of Jesus. Jesus saw their faith and he said to the man, my friend, your sins are forgiven. The scribes and the Pharisees began arguing about this, saying, who is this man who talks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins? Only God can do that. Jesus realized what was going on in their minds and spoke straight to them. Why must you argue like this in your minds? Which do you suppose is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But to make you realize that the Son of Man has full authority on earth to forgive sins, I tell you, he said to the man who was paralyzed, get up, pick up your bed, and go home. Instantly, the man sprang to his feet before their eyes, picked up the bedding on which he used to lie, and went off home, praising God. Sheer amazement gripped every man present and woman, because I'm pretty sure there was girls there. And they praised God and said in awed voices, we have seen incredible things today. We have seen incredible things today. Who wants to see incredible things today? I'm ready. I'm so ready. In one go, Jesus showed that he had the authority to heal the body and forgive sins. And there's people who are like this paralyzed man who aren't just paralyzed physically, but they're also paralyzed emotionally and spiritually as well. I was reading this week about a man who was paralyzed, not with a physical paralysis, but emotionally and spiritually. And he said, I seemed unable to grow and move freely in the life God planned for me. I hear that a lot from people. I'm stuck. I don't know what God's saying to me anymore. I can't hear him. He said this sense of emotional and spiritual paralysis kept me defeated. I knew I needed help. I didn't know how or where to find it. Now, he'd come from a dysfunctional home, and because of these problems in early life, he didn't know how to relate to people properly, let alone how to relate to God and other Christians. And he desperately wanted to experience the joy and the beauty and the freedom he saw in the lives of his Christian friends, but he didn't know how. He was desperate. So his Christian friends saw his need, and they took time to speak words of encouragement over him. They prayed for him. They offered biblical wisdom until he was emotionally and spiritually made whole. And he saw his life reflected in this story of the paralyzed man. He felt that there was a parallel between the people that helped him. And he called these friends the bearers of the mat. The bearers of the mat. So we too can be people who are part of the healing of others. We too can help lift people or put people in front of Jesus with who we are. What I love about this is it's a local story. It was four friends. They knew this guy. They may have known him for a while. They may have carried him around before. But they knew to come to Jesus. He was healed because his friends cared. So on your seats is a outline with some gaps to fill in. And they are who God works with. I want to be someone that God works with. How? How do I do that? So here's some of the things to do. How? We're doing it together. The first one is God works through people with compassion. Now, too often, I know it's fantastic we're going to the Philippines, but this isn't the biggest part of my life. This is a great thing I'm going to do in my life, and I'm really proud of Talia that she's brave enough to come with me and do it. It's going to be great. But the biggest part of my life isn't going to the Philippines or going to Kenya or doing all those things. The biggest part is being part of a community where I get to live and breathe and love on people every day. And so when I go to the gym, when I work in canteen, I'm a canteen mum, love it so much. When I'm there, I can be salt and light who I am, so that when they start going, you don't react to things the same way as other people do. We like it when you on this day when you come in because the day is more peaceful. You know, God's got his light shining in there. That's what it's all about. We can be people with compassion. We can show Jesus through who we are. It all starts with caring for people. Sometimes people say, I don't know any non-Christians. I get that a little bit here and there. I don't know anyone outside of the church. I'm pretty sure you do. You just haven't recognized it yet. Because when you go to the shop, there's always someone on a cash register. When you go on the bus, there's always a bus driver. When we go and get petrol, there's the same guy that I talk to every time I get petrol. I say hello and have a great day. You know, we can be praying for those people. So there's people around. If you want to actually go further into this, we find common ground with people. And common ground is this. If you love to do something, God's given you that passion and love for a reason. So go and find other people that love to do it and build a relationship with them. Yeah, I'm not the fittest person in my gym class. I actually am there to make everyone look better. Because, you know, I'm slow, I'm strong, but I'm not fast, but I'm friendly. And so when we go, we laugh at each other. We have, you know, when we're stretching at the end, everyone's telling stories about what they did on the weekend. And you can be part of the group without being awesome at something. You can just be a person there. You can build relationships. So find common ground, whatever it is, whether it's drinking coffee, whether it's shopping, whether it's doing art classes, you can find common ground and be part of that. And this is what 1 Corinthians 9:22 says. Whatever a person is like, I try to find common ground with him. See, it's in the Bible. Look at that. So that he will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save him. Now, that's the easiest way to lead someone to Jesus. The next one, 2 Corinthians 1:3, it says, what a wonderful God we have. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the source of every mercy, and the one so wonderfully comforts and strengthens us in our hardships and trials. So this is the part I want you to really hear. Why does God do this? So that when others are troubled, needing our sympathy and needing encouragement, we can pass on to them the same help and comfort that God has given us. I've found so much comfort and freedom in my relationship with Jesus. Why wouldn't I want to share that with someone else? They too can find comfort and encouragement there too. All of us have a story to tell. We all have hurts. We all have pain. We've all been through situations, and you're not alone. Other people have been through those things before, and other people are going to go through those things in the future. And we can be people that bring hope and peace to those. So instead of saying, why am I going through this? And what's, you know, I wish God would not let this happen. We can say, how can I be part of the solution for someone else? So we want to be people with heart, with compassion. I've got a clip we're going to play. We won't put the sound on just so Facebook doesn't kill it. So I'll be the sound. It's really just people talking and over the top saying what's going on. So I want you to look at the building in the very background there, right? See how big it is? Now, as I get closer to it, as you get closer to something, it should get bigger, right? But this one is getting smaller. Can you see it? It's getting smaller. Whoa. Yep, we're getting closer. We're almost there. And how big is it now? It looks tiny, doesn't it? Do you remember how big it was at the beginning? Whoa. Is your mind blowing? No? Why is that? It's an optical illusion. It's because framed. It was framed by the trees. It made it look bigger and it got smaller as you went through. I watched it about 8 times just going, no. And I even had my fingers over it going, yep, 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 yep. Oh. It plays with your mind. Sometimes we need to see things differently, don't we? Sometimes we need to see things differently. And people with faith see things differently. And that's the second point on there. God works through people with faith. Okay, because we need to change our thinking. And that building, I mean, you could watch that video a number of times and try and work out how it works. But you're seeing things differently. You're seeing it to how it really is. And that's what we want to do with our faith. Now, the bearers of the mat were confident if they just got their friend to Jesus, that Jesus could do something. Just got him in there. And what had happened was Jesus came and he was in his house, whether it was Peter's house or Jesus' house or whoever's house it was, a random guy's house, whoever's house it was so full of people they couldn't even get in. And they looked around and they said, oh, if we could only get him in the door to Jesus' feet, I reckon that Jesus will heal him. Now we see this many other times. There's a woman who touched Jesus' coat. She went behind him and she touched him, and Jesus said, what happened? And she was healed. He said, who touched me? He wanted her to own up, to say it, what she had done. And he healed her. There's the centurion, I think it is, whose son was sick and said, if you just say the word Jesus, he'll be healed. You know, there's so many times that if you just get the attention of Jesus onto my need here, something's going to happen with it. And I wonder how many times we've put up with something and we haven't bothered to do this because we've gone, I don't want to bother Jesus with that. I'm going to carry my own burden. I can do it. And Jesus is saying your faith has healed you. Now, I don't want to say that the people that aren't healed don't have faith, because that's not the road we're going down today. But I'm saying that if you don't try, you're never going to know. Okay? You've got to put yourself out there. It wasn't the paralyzed man's faith that made him well. It was the faith of his friends. And that's really big to hear. It wasn't the paralyzed guy that had all the faith in the world. It wasn't the sick person that had all the faith in the world. It was his friends, the guys holding the ropes. They're the ones that had the faith. And Jesus saw their faith, their faith. Don't carry your burdens by yourself. We need people to walk with us and hold on to us and carry us and take us before Jesus and ask on our behalf for God to do something miraculous for us. Number three, God works through people who will do something. Now, these guys just didn't pray about it. Oh, you know, I'll send it out to all the prayer team. We'll pray for you. These guys actually did something. They took action. They intervened. And the Bible is full of examples of people taking others to Jesus. That's what we talked about. Sometimes it's so discouraging when we're trying to reach our family and friends and acquaintances with the gospel and nothing happens. But these friends here in Luke 5 didn't let the difficulties discourage them. I'm not sure how easy it is to pull a roof apart, but they did it big enough to put, I mean, this is very small. I'm pretty sure it was double the size of this. How on earth do you get a person through a roof? I reckon there was bits falling down, you know, mess everywhere, dust, who knows what else. And they did something. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." How many guys did it take the roof off? Well, it says in there four friends. It took four people to get the guy up there. Four to work as a team because it was too hard for one person to do. We need to work together. So these friends dared to do something different. They were willing to do whatever it took. And it was messy because it involves people. I tell you what, ministry is so messy. Just when you get things lined up, someone does something else and it all gets messy again. And it's never neat. I like neat things. I like neat desks and neat rooms. And I can't be too upset about that because ministry is messy. Have you wondered who repaired the roof in this story? I don't know. I wonder if the friends fixed it. You know, they got their friend healed, you know, just put it back together carefully. Who knows? But whether it's time or effort or money or something else, there's always a cost in bringing someone to Jesus. It's going to cost something. Luke 16:9 says, "Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home." Use what you have. Use what you have because it's got kingdom value. God wants us to bring healing to those without hope, but he doesn't expect us to do it alone. We do it together. And we need to ask God for the persistence, the innovation, the cooperation and the sacrifice that will take to reach everyone with the hope of the gospel, the good news about Jesus. Okay, last one, number four. Number four, God works through people who are available. Matthew 5:16 says, "In the same way, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." I need to be available. I need to be willing to let my life be interrupted. And I need to give God an opportunity to do something great in someone else's life. So what's stopping you? What's holding you back from being willing to have God work through you? And there's many, many people here who are very in tune with what God wants. And when God says, "Stop, I want you to do this for that person," or call them or message them or do this, they will do it and they're a great blessing. But maybe you're saying today, "You don't know my story. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. God's not going to use me. God's not going to want to use me." And to that I say no. God's inviting you to partner with him because he wants to work through you. And whether it's an up the front job or a behind the scenes job or it's working with someone that lives next door, working with someone that's down the street, God has something for you to do. You may be thinking, "I'm too broken. I've got too much going on. And we end up getting stuck in our past sins and hurts. But God can forgive you of those. And he can heal you of those. So here's what I invite you to do. Can you visualize yourself as the person on the mat? You're the person that is stuck, that can't move, that's had to be lowered down to the feet of Jesus. Your whole life you've had to look up. Your whole life you've been held down and broken and helpless. And you can't do things on your own. And you hear that Jesus is in town. And your friends say, come on, let's go. You can't get there on your own. You need someone else to get you there. So the band's going to come up now. But as they play, as we sing or you can worship, you can pray. But I'm going to give you the opportunity to come. It's a bit different, so stay with me on this. Even if you don't have enough faith on your own, we want to have faith for you. And we're going to have people with great faith who intercede for our church every week. They meet together, they pray, and they intercede by name for people. And I invite you to come and be helped up the stairs by the people who are praying for you. They will just grab your arm and help you walk up the stairs. You can walk across the mat and then down the other side. As a symbol that you're trusting God to help you up out of your old life and into the new. And we're going to be praying for you. We're praying for you to have spiritual healing, emotional healing, healing of memories, healing of hurts and freedom from guilt and shame. If you need to get up and walk today, I invite you to come. Desperate times call for desperate measures. How desperate are we for God to be healing our lives? Do we really want to be healed? Or are we going to keep hiding behind our problems, just getting sympathy? Do we need to forgive the people who are involved in our hurt and forgiving ourselves for what we've done or what we've been unable to do? The first thing Jesus does is he deals with the matters of our heart. And he wants to say to you, friend, your sins are forgiven. Maybe you need to hear that today. Settle that first. You may want to hand your life over to Jesus and ask for your sins to be forgiven as you come. So how desperate are we to see change in our lives? So I'm going to ask the guys, Marty and Simon, Dawn, would you come? And Andrew, you come. They're just going two on each side. Walk up the stairs here. Walk across. I'll make this a bit safer. And then down the other side. And as they come, they're just going to pray for you. Pray prayers of faith over you today. Why don't you come as we sing?